Well, hello and welcome to the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Look at the top man in again, Si.
What's happening, mate?
Right? How are you?
Good, mate, you?
Right, come on, who's this alongside you?
Superstar.
Pulled out the back here, aren't we? This has got to be the guy with the most clubs ever in any podcast.
I'm sure there's somebody out there with more clubs, come on.
That's right. A good thing, Tommy. That means that 17 teams have wanted you.
And then they didn't.
we'll throw in to give the listeners a clue, right? We'll throw in four clubs out of his 38, right? And then we'll see how it goes. So Rangers, Dunfermline, Ross County, Birmingham City. We're narrowing it down, aren't we?
And he's quite handsome. Roughing the edges.
Aye, he's not bad.
He's got a bit, isn't he? Housewife's favourite.
Aye, he's actually, must they be said, he's...
Him and Martin Woods, two of the best we've
done. Aye, who else? We've had a couple on, aren't we?
A couple ugly ones as well, aren't we?
Aye. Kyle's all right, he's fine. Right, we're getting there. It is former Rangers, Dunfermline, Ross County, Birmingham City player Andy Barrowman. Andy, good to join us. How are you?
Thanks for having us. No, I'm good. I'm good, thanks. I'm good.
Top man at Joma as well.
Yes.
Sportswear firm.
Yeah.
That must be a good job that you've got there. You must enjoy that.
It is, yeah. Obviously coming, left school at 16 to go into the big bad world, and it's great. It's been great. It's just coming up for 2 years now. It's sport. It's a job in sport, which are hard to come by in Scotland especially. But it's predominantly football, so I'm in and around clubs and it keeps me involved. But yeah, it's good. I'm really enjoying it.
But if you've got all the gear, everybody must want to be
side-jarging
for a pair of boots yet.
That's what I'm saying, he's not even got his fucking pair of boots.
You're a Mizuno man, I've just said that. You've still got that sponsorship, no? Has that run out?
I was going to say, they broke, Joma.
No, you know, like them. They're Spanish, though. Zara. You've got to represent.
Same
Spanish
thing,
company. You know,
just for Simon as well, did Joma make stay press that only 6 inches above your ankle? No, I'll
be getting some kids'
trousers that might fit. A pair of waffles. Right, we're here, Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball in the ground, like I say, in association with our friends at William Hill. We've got some great topics for you this morning. Stick with us for the next 45-50 minutes. We're going to look back at the weekend results. Rangers winning 4-1 at Hamilton Accies, brilliant game at Celtic Park, Celtic v Hibs, and Hearts beating Aberdeen. Livy beating Dundee, Kilmarnock keeping their winning run going as well, and St Johnstone getting back to winning ways against Motherwell. So we'll touch on most of the games. We're going to look at the situation at Dundee. Jim McIntyre, the new gaffer, taking over from Neil McCann. But what do you make of the situation in terms of him not being allowed to bring in Billy Dodds as his number two? We're going to look at that. And Arsene Wenger as well, his comments that players are now bigger attractions more than football clubs. Football fans now follow players instead of football clubs. So we'll look at that. Neymar, Ronaldo, all the different things. And we'll have a look back at Andrew's career, as I say, man of many, many clubs, but we'll touch on two or three of his highlights. So we'll get cracking. I'm Matt Goody with Andy Barrowman and Simon Ferry. Right, 4-1, Rangers won their first league away game of the season. Si, it was tough, wasn't a great performance, but the points are in the bag.
To be fair, I think it's tough to go to Hamilton and put on a great performance, you know, with the surface, the way Rangers play. I think it's a hard place to go and go and pass the ball, but Hamilton desperate for the result as well. 1-0 after 18 minutes, wasn't it? The wee boy Boyd scored an absolute belter.
Yeah,
good player.
He
was at Albion Rovers when we played him, and he's a good player, Boyd. He's got that in his locker. That's a sign of a good team. Don't play well, go and win 4-1, so Steven Gerrard would be delighted. And maybe now that'll kick on for their away performances for the rest of the season.
And he said, Steven Gerrard, you know, one thing about him when he's analysing games, he's very honest and he doesn't miss the mark. He said that the performance average at best.
Yeah,
is he right?
Absolutely. I watched the game. They were very comfortable, I thought, but they laboured, didn't they? They didn't really look as if they had any cutting edge. I think the first time they actually get in behind, the Hamilton defence was a goal with Kent, and he's made the run. So, I don't think they were ever really in danger of losing the goal. Obviously, they lose the equaliser, and then you're thinking they might draw the game or worse. But the win's a win, isn't it? And it's a big week for them coming up, so was there maybe one eye on that? But Si's right. I mean, I didn't like playing at Hamilton. I know it's a different surface and all that now, but it's just so open, and lunchtime kickoff on a Sunday, and it's just got all the makings of...
You've been out on Saturday night, especially.
Well, aye, true, aye. So, yeah, job done, 3 points, and I'm sure getting into a big week ahead, it's it's a good start for them.
The two penalty kicks awarded by Andrew Dallas against the big fella Penny.
Uh-huh.
Both penalties?
I think so, yeah. Big man's a bit clumsy, isn't he? Mm. Also, I think Hamilton's was a penalty. Was it first,
first half?
I thought that was a penalty. Yeah. I know both of them are grabbing.
Mikael Miller.
I think both of them are grabbing each other, but if that was for the ref's angle, I think you can see Tavin, you're grabbing him. But no, I think both the Rangers ones are penalties, definitely. I think they were good calls for him. I think he's been slaughtered a bit for it, but for me, I thought he was spot on.
Martin Cannon, it seems to be a recurring theme, Andy, because they're almost in the bottom four at all times and have been. Since I've been back up in the Premiership, getting a wee bit of stick from the Accies fans, is that understandable?
No, I don't think so. His remit is to keep them in division each year, and he's done that. Mm-hmm. You know, okay, they're always tipped to go down, but there's never really been any grave danger towards the end of the season. They always seem to pick some results up and be out of there before the last couple of games. It's one of them people maybe we should appreciate what they've got. You know, you go and bring someone else in, who's to say that he can do that job with limited resources and everything that goes with that club? Maybe he's a perfect man for that, and maybe he is achieving. You know, you sack him and you go and get somebody else, then who knows where it ends up, you know. Better the devil, you know.
Is Patty's problem maybe because when you listen to him and you hear him, that he never talks himself up? You know, he's not got the, I'm not saying he's doing, but he's not got the most bubbly of personalities. He's very matter of fact, but he doesn't talk about philosophies. He doesn't use the buzzwords. He just gets in and gets his job done. To sometimes managers like that, are they underappreciated?
I think so. I think, as you say, you get managers who talk all the talk, and their record isn't actually that good. Mm-hmm. But I mean, Martin Canning's budget, I think we've probably got a bigger budget at Peterhead, and he keeps him in the league every year. And then you look at a team like Dundee who have got a budget, a massive budget, and they can't even get a win. So as Andrew says, I think he's done a great job at Hamilton. Loses his best players every year. He has to bring in unknowns, which is tough, you know. He's probably got agents working for, and they're unknowns. He doesn't know how they're going to come into the league and do. So I think he's got the hardest job in the league, Martin Canning. And he does great, but I think he should maybe talk himself a bit more, because the record that he's got there is excellent. I mean, Alex Neil was there, and I don't think he'd done much better than what Martin.
Well, Alec got them up.
I know
up
he got them up. Went ahead.
He joined Norwich during the first season up, and Martin was kind of thrown in a deep. I think he was 33 in the job, you know, and he's kept them up 3 years every year. He's getting, you look at the team, somebody said, look at Mikael Miller, decent young Stephen Boyd, Darren McKinnon's always a force in the.
Oh, Darren McKinnon's horrible to play against.
He is. Horrible. I remember years ago.
Oh, he's horrible to play against, honestly.
He came for the juniors, didn't he?
He's a rash.
Later on, he was a bit of a striker or something. He played further forward anyway. When he first signed, and I remember a few games playing against him. Obviously, I wasn't directly against him, but some of the things he was sort of saying to boys that he was playing against, it was.
I think he took my lunch money off me one game.
Aye, things like that. I threatened to take your lunch money. Aye, that's what I'm
Well, certainly wouldn't take any of your gear off you.
But the thing is, see, for Hamilton, losing Brophy was a big one. Did they let him go? Or was
Brophy
it?
Never played.
You're right, he hardly started.
Wasn't he a regular?
It was a strange one.
And then he went somewhere else and really kicked on. And
I think that's probably Martin Canning's big mistake, Brophy, because I think if you've got Brophy in your team, they finish.
That's goals.
They stay in the league comfortably, but just lack that goal scorer, didn't they, Hamilton? The wee boy Boyd scores the odd cracker, but he's not a goal scorer, you know.
Yeah. Wee Dougie Emery still gives him a right good shift as well, doesn't he?
He's going on for ages,
Dougie Baggio, as he likes to be called.
Dougie
Baggio used to call himself up there, so he's not shy, that's for sure.
Good player, man.
Listen, he gives you absolutely every training session, every game, he gives you. I think he appreciates being a professional footballer, you know. Again, come into the game late for juniors, and I think it was a landscape gardener, and he's relishing it. He just loves it, and I think he's involved in the coaching as well. And I can imagine him being quite good at that, because just his enthusiasm for the game. But he's not shy.
That's 11 minutes into the programme site, and I think we've mentioned 8 or 9 players, and Big Andy's played with every one of them. This is going to be a recurring theme over the next 40, 50 minutes. Right, Celtic 4.
What a game.
Hibs 2. I watched it in Sports Scene. What a game of football. What a 90 minutes it was.
Great advert for Scottish football. No, I sound like a pure idiot saying that, but it was both teams going for it, wanting to have a go, playing good football the right way. Tempo was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down, when it was at a basketball game. But I think Lenny got his tactics wrong in the first half. I think he said that, and fair play to him, because he changed it, and Hibs looked like they could have nicked it in the second half, but then again, Celtic had loads of chances. Mm. Only thing that would worry me about Celtic is, I mean, Sinclair could have had three.
Yeah.
Forest could have had two or three, but I thought Tom
Rodgick. Edward as well. Could have, I mean, Celtic generally could have scored 7 or 8 goals.
But Tom Rodgick, he looks back to his best now, and I think probably the only sensible thing Frank McAvaney said since he's came on here is that when Tom Rodgick plays, you know, he makes Celtic click. And if you can get him back at his best, Celtic have got a great chance of kicking on them.
When you look at that performance from Celtic, Andy, and it's probably the only one apart from the Old Firm game when they beat Rangers 1-0 would have actually really looked the part, but when you see them in that kind of form, do you expect them to eventually just go and kick on and go away with the title again?
Yeah, I think everybody's waiting for that, and that result that sparks it and sparks that run of form that everybody knows they're capable of. Hibs are a good side. I think if Celtic had been anywhere off it in terms of performance and what they were, Hibs would have got a result there on Saturday, because you look at Hibs' team, they've got everything you sort of want from a team, you know, defensively structured and pace going forward. So I think Celtic had to be on their mettle. You know, maybe that's what it takes. Maybe, as you mentioned there, the Old Firm game, maybe they've become a wee bit, you know, lackadaisical a little bit and just sort of turning up and winning games. Maybe they need that pressure, you know, that pressure game and a team that's going to really come out and attack them and go for it. Not the Rangers.
I think that suits Celtic, didn't it, when a team comes and has a go at them? Yeah. Because they can hit them on the counter and they're great on the counter attack, but they didn't really get a chance to do it against the lesser teams because they're camped in against them.
Do you think, you're talking about the way Celtic played there, they've got a big game Thursday night in Europe. I think the bigger game is on Sunday against Hearts in the League Cup semi-final at Murrayfield. But when you see the way they played on Saturday, and if they get to the Cup final, is that going to, do you think that will be enough to keep Brendan Rodgers' interest going to the end of the season? Because you see him being linked with Newcastle, being linked with Leicester, being linked with Spartak Moscow in the past couple of hours. Do you see him staying on, or do you still think there's something hanging over him that might try and tempt him away?
I think eventually they're going to lose Brendan Rodgers. I think he's that calibre of manager that someone from down south is going to come calling at some point and it's going to tempt him to go. At what level, whether it's a Newcastle or someone above that, then who knows? But you know, if he's still winning and winning leagues, I still think they'll lose him at some point. There'll come a time when something will tempt him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, if he's not winning and not winning trophies, then that day might come sooner. I think obviously he's wanted 10 in a row, and that'll maybe a motivation for him to stick around for that and get that and be the man to sort of do that. But it's inevitable, I think, that one day they'll lose him. I think he's just a class above Scottish football, unfortunately.
I suppose if you're a Celtic supporter or a Celtic player, Simon, one thing that you would hope would be the case, that I'm not going to say if he goes, it's when he goes, that it's at the end of a season and not in the middle of a campaign.
I don't think he's the type to go in January. I don't think he would go into a club that are struggling. I think he's all about the project, Brendan Rodgers. So I think if a Newcastle came to him in bottom three in the Premier League, 6 months to keep them up, I don't think it's his sort of thing. I think he goes to a club and he asks the chairman for a 3-year plan. What's the squad he's got? What money has he got to spend? I don't think he's a crisis manager.
He was talking about not having the best of relationships. Him and one or two of his backroom staff, I think he's number two, Chris Davis, involved in an incident with Neil Lennon.
That must be Lennon's first argument this season.
During the
he's had me an argument since Andy's had clubs. Lennon,
that's saying something.
I did time up. It did kind of appear. Maybe a lot was made out of nothing, but have you watched some good Barneys over the years with the technical areas?
Do you know what I like about Lennon? So everyone else goes to Celtic Park and they're happy just to put on a good performance, and maybe, but you could see after the game he's such a winner, and he takes his team there to win, and it really hurts him when they didn't win. It's great for the game to have guys like him challenging Celtic and Rangers. You know, he doesn't go there and think, I just want a draw or I want a good performance. He's going there to win, and it's brilliant. But Di Canio every week, mate. But do you know the guy Steve Evans?
Aye, Peter Brown,
he's a Scottish guy. They two hated each other, man. I used to call him the fat man. Tomorrow, lads, you fight on the pitch, but me, I'll fight the fat man on the side. I remember once as well, we were playing for Swindon, Paul Hart it was. We played MK Dons, and I hated Paul Hart, mate. He's my manager. Aye. And a fight kicked off in the tunnel, and Jabo Abiri, you remember him?
Oh, yeah.
The big striker.
Yeah, yeah.
Him and big Paul Hart were going at it, and I'd never wanted my Abiri to lend or somebody so much in my life. But they were two big guys. They were flinging each other a bit, man. It was like Klitschko v Fury, honestly. It was brilliant to watch. Yeah, but it was a big, that's the best I've seen.
Andy, you must have seen one or two.
I was at Ross County. I don't know if you remember Derek Adams. He went through a wee spell. He'd been banned for about I think it was something like 12 games it got to.
He does the swear, Derek, does he? He's
one of the, nah, he doesn't swear, yeah, supposedly, aye. but he got banned for foul and abusive language, but he doesn't swear. That was his defence, by the way, I think, when he came down to Hampton, that was his defence. I don't swear, but anyway.
He took his dad in as a witness.
I think he did die, the two of them did die. So. But he was banned for the dugout, and yet he was getting into fights in the tunnel after the game, and they were adding another two games, and another two games. Honestly, it got to about 12 games in a row.
Did he not punch Higgy, Sean Higgins?
I was away by that point, but aye, I believe there was a wee bit of...
In the dressing room?
Allegedly.
That'd have been a good fight. I wasn't there, I'd left, I'd gone by this point, but I've heard a couple of stories, different versions, but supposedly there was a few haymakers thrown.
Do players like to see that though, when you're talking about it, particularly if it's during the game? You know, because we've had guests in the show, it was your sit down, Simon, and on here. I always remember the classic with Derek Ferguson, when they're talking about Souness, and sometimes Souness would say, just drop the ball short for me, so he would take a bad touch,
just to spark something.
So if you can smash something, no, and just live in the. Yeah. So is that happening the same for the dugouts? If you see your manager, you think, oh, aye, he's up today, you know, and it makes you respond.
I think you do a wee bit, but then it can go across 11, or it can sort of take the focus off the game. Then I mean, that, like I talked about Ross County, that was becoming a farce, and you're just thinking, the players are on the park, just thinking, just shut up. You know, he's at it again, sort of thing, just shut up. Because we were going through a kind of bad spell at that time. You need your manager on the side to lead you or whatever, but. Mm-hmm. But I know you're right. I think if you see your manager with his sleeves rolled up and shouting, like Jim Jeffries, for instance, always barking, you're winning 3-4-0 and he's barking at everybody, just wanting, demanding standards. Mm-hmm. So I think, I don't think that's a bad thing.
Billy
thing.
Brown on his shoulder.
Billy Brown's worse. Jim Jeffries has a going in.
You got a Jim Jeffries or Billy Brown
there? I just signed, actually. I'd come up from down the road. I'm used to that academy bubble, you know, you're pampered. Nobody tells you you had a bad game in the academies and stuff. And it was a reserve game, Rugby Park. I can't remember who it was, and I wasn't having the best of games. So come in at half time. So the manager and Billy Brown are at the game. So they've come walking in. You're thinking, all right, here we go. The boys are sort of, you can see them shuffling in their seat. So the Jets went in and said, that's not good enough. You're not going to bill me him now. You come up here and you can't play like that and all that. And I'm shit myself, you know, that way. I'm sitting like that, just keep the heat down. I think, thank God that's her. Then Billy Brown goes at you, and he goes even worse. He's there in your face, spitting at you. And honestly, the two of them are double act, talking about good cop, bad cop. No, they were bad cop,
was
bad
Kevin
cop.
Kevin Kyle would say, oh, you can't, no, somebody else would say, you can't let them away with that, Jim. If Jim Jeffries was just going lightly on you, no, Jim, you can't let them away with that.
Oh, he did, and then he would do it. Unbelievable, double act, unbelievable.
Who's he? He's ran at East Fife, it's the best, one of the best.
Oh, and he's shuffling, too, coming out in and out of camera.
I've done time.
But that's him, that's what he does. The dressing room.
He's a great guy, though, Billy.
Brilliant,
great guy. Just a proper passion for the game.
Yes, that's it. It's passion, and it comes across. Obviously, he's shouting in your face, but it's just passion. That's what he just wants to win.
I think it's good on the side, but I think it's the scumbags that enjoy it. Like, but see, when you get the foreign boys in, they think, "What's this clown doing on the side of the pitch?" You know what I mean? When you see like a guy like Rodgers and Gerrard who can keep their cool, I think that's the class above it. See, similar to him with the Canio, I would get opposition players every week. But how can you put up with that guy, man? Right. You know I mean? It got to a stage where it was funny at first and you enjoyed it at first, but then it just got...
Exactly. Started wearing you down.
Wears you down,
right, top of the table, Hearts. Now, they went into the game. Injury blows, big Ikpeazu and Suter both out for 4 or 5 months. And he thought Aberdeen gave him a right good game, which they did. But Hearts showing great resilience, showing great strength to stay top of that leaderboard and win the game.
Great result for him. like you say, Suter in the big boy out. But it's mad now how much games are decided on set pieces. I watched the highlights and Hearts are better than Aberdeen at set pieces, and that's what these games could come down to, you know, against the top teams. As I say, Derek McInnes having a wee hard time with things. James Wilson misses an easy chance, I think, at 2-1 to bring him back into it. But it just doesn't seem to be going Aberdeen's way just now, and it seems to be going Hearts' way. But when I see Hearts when they set pieces, it just, remember we're talking about Ibrox, I cannot believe they defended that first set piece like that. Mm-hmm. When you can see how good they are at set pieces, for him to do that at Ibrox, I'm sure he's looking back now regretting it. But Hearts look like they can keep going for a while now.
Well, they're in it, they're there for the, they're definitely in a
break. Like him, I loathe him. Craig Levine knows how to get a team to win football matches, didn't he? And like you said, set pieces, that's what he's built on, you know, being structured and then he's set pieces and that. And it's not a fluke, you know, that's a lot of hard work that goes into that, and that's why they're so good. Okay, he signed the right type of player to be able to play that way he wants to play. But he's done it over the years, and he knows how to win football games.
It was Michael O'Neill that was talking about set pieces, wasn't it? That was when you really started to get an idea of just how important that. Even Everton, I listened to Michael Keane's interview after the game at the weekend, saying that the boy Silva is massive on practicing set pieces.
That's it.
Semi-final.
It's only going to get worse or whatever you want to look at it. I mean, Liverpool throw-in coach or something, was it?
Scandinavian.
Where is it going to stop? You know,
how do you train for that to be a throw-in
coach? I've no idea.
Just fling.
I've worked in, you know, like throw-ins and defensive throw-ins forward, but I don't know if it merits a job. Do you? I don't know.
Job for the boys. It's just his mates gave a job.
It might well be.
Just, we're going to touch on Dundee, but before we do, just to round off the weekend, Andy, your old club Kilmarnock, 4 wins in a row, and for the fourth game in a row, coming back from a goal behind.
Brilliant. I would not bet against Kilmarnock, regardless who they're playing. Celtic and the top teams and that, they're just grind out results. They're so well organised. Steve Clark's done a great job there. They've got goals in them, you know, Eamon Brophy, as we're talking about before we come on air. They just look as if they're going to score goals. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just, that's the way they are. And if they go a goal down, then I think they've still got the belief, which is all important. Yeah. You've played in teams, you go a goal down and you sort of know that it's a game over sort of thing. But then you've also played in teams where you think, no, we can get this back. It doesn't matter if you go a goal ahead. And Kilmarnock have got that right now. And my big boy, they sit on the bench, can I get a game? So that tells you everything you need to know about the guys up top. So. Greg Stewart, again, great player. I've always liked him. When he was at Cowdenbeath, I always thought a real good player.
Alec McLeish was at that game on Saturday, and I think he was there to run the rule over Greg Stewart and potentially Brophy.
Mm-hmm.
Can you understand that? Why sensing
not?
That? Yeah, absolutely.
Why not?
Yeah.
You know, give them a chance. Go and blood them. They're scoring goals in Premier League, so what else can you judge them on? Go and put them in.
You've played big
as
Greg
long as
well.
There's no fitness test, Greg will be all right. Lazy bastard. Great player, mate. Honestly, great ability. I think he's the one as well. If you put Greg in with better players, he'll be go and play with that standard of player, definitely.
Top ability, hasn't he? Livy, they keep going.
Brilliant, eh? Thing is with Dundee, right? If I look at a Livingston team, I'll never be a manager, but I was a coach, the assistant manager, having a laugh. One thing I'm saying to my players against Livingston, don't give free kicks away around the edge of the box. One thing they're good at is set pieces. The first three goals, stupid fouls on the edge of the box. Diving in when they didn't need to dive in and giving Livingston free kicks. I mean, that's the basics of football, man. If you want to give yourself a half a chance of staying up, do the basics properly. And three goals come for three free kicks where the goalie's in no man's land, boys are not picking up. And it's no rocket science. You don't need to go and play great football. You just need to do the basics properly. And just now, Dundee are miles off it. Miles off it.
And for Motherwell, Andy, I think there's a wee bit of discontent in the stands of the Motherwell supporters. Stephen Robinson, do you think under a wee bit of pressure?
Yeah, I think, I don't know about right now, but I think he will. I think they continue to lose games. That's the nature of the beast. I think he will be under pressure. Obviously, last year, two cup finals, which is unheard of for a team like Motherwell, but there you go. It changes so quickly. New season. He's got a bigger squad this year. I think it allowed him to kind of bring in more players. I think last year, a wee bit threadbare. So, the pressure's going to come. You need to win games. That's the nature of the business we're in. So, he needs to win games.
And another one of the things are just not going for them just now. Did you see the big boy had to go off with a head knock and his man scores for the corner?
I was at a lot of Motherwell games last year, actually. I live quite local to the ground, so I just would pop down on a Saturday. And I felt last year they were lucky. A lot of games they were maybe losing in games, and he'd go and make like a double substitution at half time, which you don't really see that often. And then they'd come back and nick a result, whereas these games could have quite easily, especially early on, these games could have quite easily went the other way. And then he's up against it, and then the pressure's on. But they nicked results when really they didn't really need to. They didn't merit, sorry. And they went a wee run, and they got him a wee bit of sort of favour with the fans when he first came in, because I don't think he was really that a favourite for the job, was he? He was given a job sort of.
His assistant, wasn't he?
Everybody was crying out for him to be given a job, but he got a few results early doors, and I say games that I was at the games, I wouldn't say they actually merited winning the games.
The big boy Keith Lazar's getting slotted as well for an old legend, isn't he?
Colin O'Neill.
Is it Colin O'Neill who slotted Keith Lazar? What's that all about?
Who knows? Anyway. We'll move on. Right. Thank you for joining us. We're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. Thanks for sticking with us. We've got another couple of topics to go through. But before we do, I've just had a message in from one of our listeners that just shows you how listeners sometimes don't listen. And they've said to me, Mark, can you please ask John if he's appearing at the SECC and Jack and the Beanstalk at Christmas with the Crankies. Listen,
I've not heard that one before.
It's Andy Barrowman. It's no John Barrowman we've got on. It's Andy Barrowman, the former football player.
Oh yes, it is.
It's Andy that we've got on. Any relation, Mel, we're on the topic?
Not that I'm aware of.
And Adrian Panto this year, no. Pavilion,
no,
Kings,
not yet,
anywhere,
but listen,
no.
If there's any offers out there, I'm always open. I can't sign though.
You'll be fine. Johnny Beattie get away with it. So remember, if you're listening, it's Andy Barham, no John Barham. But listen, he is up for any Panto gigs. Very lucrative, Andy. If you can get it, it's hard graft, but
have
very,
you done it?
Very. No, no. But I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't mind. There's a right few quid in it, si. Save me sitting here talking to you. Right, Billy Dodds at Dundee, Jimmy McIntyre's just taking over the job. Now I kind of get my head round this, but it just shows you fan power now. He's worked well. Part of his success is because he's had Billy Dodds beside him. Dundee need them in. John Nelms wanted Billy Dodds. He wanted the partnership. But fan power has dictated that Billy Dodds, certainly for the opening game, can't be there. We're hearing today that it actually might come off and now Billy Dodds is going to join them. But can you believe that they just didn't show more, the club didn't show more strength and allow him to bring Billy Dodds in?
Can you talk us through why, Matt? Do you know why? Can you talk us through
it's
that?
It's because of when Dundee were in administration 7-8 years ago, they had the option of a CVA, which meant if you sign that off, you were basically, say, let's just say for talking's sake, you're owed £50,000. Mm-hmm. If you sign the CVA, you were basically taking 6 pence in the pound. So yeah, you're taking a 15th of your money, so work it out. You're signing off to take $3,000 or $4,000 rather than the £50,000 you're owed. So, but the Dundee fans, you know, didn't forgive.
Would you do that, Andy?
Billy Dodds?
Well, I was involved in the administration.
Oh, so you were,
I was one of the players that got made redundant. Obviously, didn't get that option. To be fair, I actually spoke to the administrators about playing for free to the end of the season. It was March time. I thought, where am I going to go at this time? Mm-hmm. I was doing well, scoring goals. I thought I'll stay there. But it wasn't allowed. It was insurance purposes or something. I couldn't play for free to the end of the season. They just wouldn't. Was it Brian Jackson?
Brian's a good lad.
So it was him that I spoke to. He was the administrator and wouldn't allow you to do it. But I can kind of understand it from two sides. Now, Dundee, obviously, the fans thought that him and it was Gordon Chisholm, wasn't it? Chisholm done it as well,
right,
and
yeah,
should have stood by the club or whatever and loyalty. But listen, if they hadn't been getting results and all that was, the club's not going to be loyal to them. So I can see it from like a manager or a coach's point
just
of view.
Just on that though, sorry, sorry, just to open goal, we don't have a problem with insurance, so we're delighted that you're coming in here for free, so you're okay. He's waived his fee, that's great, isn't it? That's great. I'm glad we get that insurance policy. That's saved us
£7.50. If you're working for a company and they got asked to do the same deal, they would do the exact same thing as Billy Dodds has done.
Exactly. It's football, isn't it? All business sense or anything like is out the window. It's, there's so much emotion involved.
But on the other side, if that's how Jim McIntyre works best, then
That's my point.
Exactly. You know, he needs to have him.
You need to stay up. You're bringing a guy in because he's got a tough job in his hands, but you're asking him to work without one of his biggest assets. To me, and I can understand that if there's sponsors and corporate threatening to withdraw their backing.
Yeah.
If Billy does that said, I think the club's got to say, well, we need to be strong. What's the point in bringing him in if he can't bring in his right hand man?
Well, that's it. It's strong leadership. You know, at the end of the day, the chairman, whatever, makes the decisions. That's what he's based on. Mm-hmm. If he wants to bring in Billy Dodds and he thinks that's what's going to work best, do it. Mm-hmm. You'll have a die by your beside. Fans will not be talking about if Dundee go on a good run and stay up and go and get that cup final. Nobody will remember this episode. So you're the leader, you're the manager of that business. Go and do it, make a decision you feel's best.
Right, Andy, we've heard a number of names that you've played with that have managed you. Jim McIntyre, Billy Dodds, dealt with any of the two of them on the football part or off the football part?
both. So Mac assigned me at Dunfermline when I left. So although we didn't really have a best of time, we actually got relegated that year. He got sacked, I think it was a February thing. I really enjoyed working with Jim McIntyre. As a striker, he made me a better player. I think, you know, he was a good player, very good player. Even he would join in and training and stuff with chocolate calves, like a bit like myself nowadays. But he was great for me as a player. He was to pull you aside, and I felt my game really, really improved under him. Forgetting what happened on the pitch with results and wasn't the best, but I really enjoyed him being my manager. Billy Dodds, I've never worked with him professionally, but I had a funny story actually with a wee bit of an altercation in a well-known Glasgow
establishment.
Yes. Nothing really. Said something I took exception to at the time, and with a wee bit of...
You're rolling a bit?
Nah, he was lucky Big Bob Malcolm was there actually, or else it might have. he was with Big Bob and Kenny Branigan again.
Oh, monster, Big KB.
So I was never starting anything.
I think he knew that.
Nah, we've met since, to be fair, and it was everything's all right, but it was funny.
We should maybe have a Christmas party at One Up. We'll speak to James Mortimer so he can give us the karaoke booth, for see if we can get it for free. But on the football pack, they get thrashed 4-0 on Saturday. We've touched on there just a minute ago. The defending was appalling. But if you look at that, it appears already, although we're only 9 games into the season in the league, it looks as though there's a wee mini league of 4.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you see pulling away, or who do you see just being intense in that for the rest of the season?
I think Motherwell will get it. I look at Motherwell's squad and I think they're strong at centre defence, which is a big thing. I like Aldred. I like Hartley, the captain. Mm-hmm. I think once Main's a good player, but he needs to start scoring goals, and I think he will, because he's got good qualities, man. So I think Motherwell will get out of it. I fear for Dundee, I really do. They play Hearts tonight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I expect Hearts to beat them. And the thing about Dundee is they've not got a great home record. I think if you're going to stay up, you need to be strong at home, and I don't think Dundee are. So I would look at Dundee and I would look at Hamilton this year. I think they made two good signings. Simeon Jackson's a good player.
He is.
And Adam Hamill's a good player. And I watched the highlights, and even Steve Clark said that St Mirren were the better team.
That was at the game on Saturday, and you're right, it was a good partnership, Danny Mullen and Simeon Jackson. And I tell you, I thought he caught my eye right in the heart of the team beside Steve McGinn was Matty Willock. Big presence.
Big voice at Man United. Yeah.
As well, you
know. So I think St Mirren will score goals. I think they've got goals in them, whereas I don't think Dundee and Hamilton have got a goal scorer.
Big call, do you agree with that, Andy?
No, I think St Mirren are a bit of trouble. Obviously, Joma Club, I hope they get away from that. But I think they're struggling. I think the problem is that there's a squad there that probably doesn't fit what the manager wants, and you need to get rid of their players. Mm. And you know what it's like as a player, if you're not going to go if unless the package is right. So I think that's his biggest obstacle. I've got a big squad, you know, we've got a lot of players there.
Uh-huh.
So they need to trim that, and the manager needs to, I think I was read somewhere, he's split up training into sort of two squads. Mm-hmm. Just because the number of players that they've got on the books, that's not good. You know what it's like, that's not good in the dressing room. So that's a worry for them. I agree with Si, they have signed some good players who, you know, who will do well for them up here. But I think it's between St Mirren, Hamilton and Dundee. Jim McIntyre will make Dundee harder to beat. You'll not see them losing as soft as goals as they have done.
Mm-hmm.
But again, there's a squad of players there, a lot of foreigners, a lot of guys from down south and loan. And would Jim McIntyre look to sign these sort of players? I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. So again, mm-hmm. he's got to get a squad that he wants to work with. Mm-hmm. And that's a difficult bit, you know, because we're nearly in November now, and
right.
you've not got a lot of time to turn that around.
Right, well, while we're on predictions, we'll just very quickly... League Cup semi-finals on Sunday. Give us your winners: Rangers v Aberdeen, Hearts v Celtic.
I think it'll be Celtic and Rangers final.
Old Firm final. Celtic Rangers.
I think it will be. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that. Two tough games. You know, Hearts will not be easy for Celtic to overturn, but same token with Aberdeen. But I think the two Old Firm teams will be an Old Firm final.
I'm going for an Aberdeen Celtic. I don't think it'll be an Old Firm final.
No.
Aberdeen. I think one of the Old Firm will lose. I don't think the two of them will win. I think Aberdeen might just nick it. But we'll wait and see. Right, we're on the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground. We've got 20 minutes to go. I hope you've enjoyed listening so far. Arsene Wenger, he's been in the news the past week or so, said that he's got a job lined up, but it sounds like he'll go back to work January the 1st.
Is he,
It sounds like he's got an international job.
Open Goal, isn't it?
Lined up somewhere, perhaps a USA national team, although... I hear your old pal Tez Vez.
Venerable.
you do wonders for him, don't you? Absolute wonders. I'm sure he knows about you now. If he doesn't, then
he's shut the B&B in Spain, January and February. He's going to try that. He's coming over here for a few. But he's in for that Albion Rovers, Joe. No,
that'd be perfect, mate. Imagine him telling Cobridge.
Oh. I'm not sure that's cool enough for him, is it?
But listen, he's had a few interviews in the past week or so, Arsene Wenger. He's been back and using it. And I've seen some interesting stuff, even just off the park. He's talking about the increasing media influence of players, and that fans now, football supporters, are actually supporting individual players right. rather than football clubs. So they're supporting Ronaldo, they're supporting Neymar, and therefore wherever they move to, they end up supporting that club. So a lot of them now support PSG, and a lot of them have turned to Juventus since Ronaldo moved there. Do you think that's true?
100%. My two kids, whatever team Ronaldo or Messi got, that's the strip they want for their Christmas or their birthday. Yeah. Even he went to a wee football camp last week and had a Messi and Ronaldo day, and then they had a Salah and a Neymar day the next day. So it's no teams anymore. Mm. It's a players, and I think it's good though. I think it's really good because they're good role models for them. I know Ronaldo's maybe done a bit something. I don't know if he's done it or no, but I mean, in terms of how they live their life as a professional, I think it's great for kids to have role models like them. I mean, think of the people in the past who were a bit mental, you know what I mean, that people looked up to, but I think they're great role models for kids. But I agree 100% what Wenger's saying.
Andy, can you see the day there's a Barryman and Ferry day at a youth soccer club?
Which club is the problem with it?
Somewhere up in deepest northern
Dingwall,
Peterhead. There's a wee clip. But can you see, do you agree with Wenger and Simon?
Obviously with the job and stuff, see in terms of even simple, the kit, you know, so retailers have to order, especially the big brands, they're ordering like let's take Juventus strips 8 months in advance of that strip coming out in quantities. That's what you need to do, and they've obviously maybe not ordered that many Juventus strips. Juventus signs Ronaldo signs for Juventus, all of a sudden they're inundated with people wanting Juventus strips. They can't get them because they don't see it. Neymar was a big one. No one knew Neymar was going to go to PSG at that point when you're having to order these hits. So every sports retailer are all scrambling for PSG strips because Neymar.
Price goes up as well.
Price goes up.
Buying a Juventus strip last year, and then when Ronaldo signed it,
Exactly. So even that just, it's a business. And at the end of the day, and these are all the wee knock-on effects of people like Ronaldo and your Messi have.
What's the biggest order you've had for Joma then for a single player?
No, we don't. It doesn't sort of work like that with us. We are different.
Who else is Joma?
In Scotland, we've got eight of the 42.
Is it?
Good spread, aye.
Yes, you got St Mirren.
St Mirren, Dunfermline, Partick Thistle, Dumbarton, East Fife, Stranraer, Edinburgh City, Albion Rovers.
There you go.
It's a good wee.
And did you bring all them in? Or?
I played a part in that.
Did it?
So hopefully more next year as well.
I'll get speed ahead.
It's about a third year clubs.
That's it, aye.
Third year clubs, good. So, on that, is it, as much as you're saying that it's good and it's good for kids to have role models, but let's just take this country as well now, and you see it and you're talking about your kids, everybody's kids, you very rarely see them going about now with Celtic or Rangers or Aberdeen or Hibs or Hearts. It's Man City, it's Liverpool, it's Barca, it's Real Madrid, it's Juve, and in some way, yeah, it's nice, but in other ways, it's quite sad to see.
It is definitely, but I think it's up to the parents as well. So, like I say, my wee boy like Juventus and Barcelona and that now, but last Saturday I never had a game, so I took him to Partick Thistle versus Dundee United, and he loves it. And now he on a Saturday, he'll say to me, what was the Partick Thistle score?
Right.
So I think it's a parent's responsibility as well, eh? Get your kids out to watching Fitmo. I got the tickets for free, but I was going to pay for them. But the parents have got a responsibility as well. Get the kids out to their local game and see what real football is as well, because he enjoys that just as much as watching a Barcelona. They'll enjoy any football that you take them to.
It's a wee day out, isn't it?
So I think it's the parents' responsibility as well.
Yeah, that's good parental advice from Simon Ferry. That's a first that will never catch on. Right, Wenger on the park. Where do you see him? Genuinely, where do you see him ending up in 2019?
I think he's best suited now where he is to a national team, or if it's not a manager, you know, some sort of technical director role at one of these big super clubs. And I think he's done his time as a manager. I think he deserves that week in a, I don't know, semi-retirement if you like. But play some football for him. Listen, he's done a remarkable job at Arsenal, and he certainly knows the game and how to get the best out of these superstars. So he should be definitely working in the game somewhere.
Can you still see him having an impact at a top level? No. So best days behind him.
I think you see the difference in the Arsenal team now. Yeah. We watched them last night; they were brilliant. Yeah. Really third hungry and amazing.
My God,
really good. But nah, I agree with used to. I think his days done as a top level manager. I think it's a young, hungry manager's game now at the top level. I think he's had his time. An international job, I think, would be perfect for him.
Well, we'll wait and see who ends up at Clifton Hill, whether it's Arsene Wenger or El Tell. We'll keep an eye on that. Right, we're into the last 6 or 7 minutes of the programme. It's been great. This is the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground with Simon Ferry and our special guest, Andy Barryman, with myself, Mark Guidi. So we always keep the last 6 or 7 minutes, Andy, for our special guest to review his career and talk about the clubs he's been at, so that'll give you an average of about 25 seconds per club. Looking back on your career, just give us a wee flavour of what it like, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows. Give us a wee flavour.
Listen, plenty of ups and downs. You know, people I think get a wee bit of sort of misconception about a professional footballer's life. I think they watch the TV and they watch the games down south and they think everything's brilliant, and less, of course, you're privileged to earn a living, be kicking a ball, no doubt about that, but there is a lot of sort of behind the scene things that people don't realise what goes on, you know, especially when you get a bit older and you've got responsibilities and you're living year to year contracts and things like that. These are all the pressures, and it's been well documented the effect that can have on people and stuff. So yeah, listen, absolutely delighted with the career I had. I was never the greatest of player, but I like to pride myself as a good pro, and yeah, I enjoyed my innings. So.
Best teammates, boys, that really loved sharing a dressing room with?
We had a great team spirit up at Ross County, obviously getting to that Scottish Cup final. I think that was, you know, we were such a young team, everyone kind of had been released by bigger clubs and had points to prove, and we really got on well. We all lived up there, socialised together off the park, and there was a few characters in that team. Michael Gardine.
Oh, not a boy, man.
He's still a character. Martin Scott, Jimmy Scott, who's now at
Cowdenbeath. I played yesterday, a couple of weeks ago.
I still get a text off him every week saying he's a better striker than me. You know, still can't get any sense of him. No matter whether it's a phone call, text messages, it's just.
He used to cut his hair, didn't he?
Used to cut all the boys here. Nah, I used to charge the boys a fiver and cut all the boys here.
What did Gardine used to do?
Oh, what did he not do? Some of the things you just cringe even talking about them now. You just think it's a bit too much for me anyway. But he loved it. He would just every day. It was, what can he do to eclipse what he'd done the day before? And you know yourself, it gets out of hand at times. Uh-huh. And the two of them together as well. But no, it was good.
See, Gardine, I remember we were the reserves. The first team used to do a gym session first, and then we'd have to wait at the top of the stairs when they were finished. You'd go in. And me, Midge, was like, I'm not fucking waiting for them. You just day stupid hang. So just marching up the stairs, takes all his gear off, naked, right into the middle of the first team gym session, starts doing pull-ups on the pull-ups back.
That sums him up.
Managers.
Different reasons. As we touched on there with Jim McIntyre, I felt he improved me as a player rather than... I always thought the best managers were the ones that were honest with you. You know, you might not have liked what they were saying to you at the time, but in hindsight, when you look back and you think, Jim Jeffries, plenty of run-ins with Jim Jeffries, but I look back and, you know, I've got respect for Jim Jeffries because, okay, we had our arguments at the time, I didn't like what he was saying, but he was right, it was the truth.
When you say a run-in, what do you entail? Is this like Champions League one to ones? Is it going nose-to-nose in the dressing? What are you talking
bit
about?
Bit of both, really, bit of both, you know, about coming in after a game and he's having a go at you and you don't agree with it and you have your opinion back or he's dropped you. I always remember one time, I think we were playing the Cup and he pulled me in. I'd been scoring goals and he pulled me in and said, look, I'm going to leave you out today. It's a cup. I'm just going to make a couple of changes. I'm like, I'm scoring. I've scored my last four or five. I just want to keep it going. And I said, we've got a big game next week. I think we're playing Partick Thistle. We were top of the league at the time. I said, we've got a big game next week and I just want to keep that run going. I said, what if it was Andy Kirk that came in? What if he comes in and scores a hat-trick? You know, he said, well, that's me. I'm the manager. I've got to make that decision. And, you know, rightly or wrong, we had a wee bit of ding-dong. I stormed out the room. But to be fair, he put me back in. Andy Kirk didn't score a hat trick, so I was back in for the game a week later. And
you must have been drinking when you said that. If Andy Kirk scores a hat trick now,
Kirk was a good goal scorer.
I can't even remember.
I just makes things up.
He doesn't listen to this, does he?
Hopefully not.
Join us next week, our special guest.
Aye, so different reasons for the managers, you know. It's like life. If someone's honest with you, and I think somebody that can deal with a person on person, you know, it's like any walk of life, whether you're a football manager or any other business. If a guy can stand in front of you and be honest with you and you can have that respect to you, then that's good enough.
What about least favourite? Can we say it?
Terry Butcher. Easy. Terry Butcher. Wow. He didn't fancy me. That was quite obvious when he came in. He just didn't fancy me. I was on a good contract at Inverness instead of coming and saying, look, you're not part of my plans, I don't see you playing here. He never did that. He just sort of...
And how quickly did he assess you to make that decision?
Minute one, I think.
Yeah.
But previously I'd
so
been...
Just came in with preconceived ideas about
it. Aye, because I'd been at Birmingham and I was going to come up and loan to Motherwell when he was Motherwell manager. And then for whatever, I come up and trained for a few days. It was around about Christmas time, so I come up and trained for a few days and he didn't want me. Just didn't rate me as a player, right. So that was that. So I think he's already getting that job. He's thinking, right, Andy Barham, that's Andy Barham of 4 years ago. You know, and I think he'd made his mind up then. Mm-hmm. and just come to me and say, like, I wanted to play football. I would have moved on if it was right for me, but I wouldn't have, you know, just had me training. I wasn't allowed to train with the first team. I would train with one of the coaches, with Scott Kelliker, and maybe me and another guy, a couple of other guys he was trying to kind of freeze out. And then when the first team stopped training, Morris Malpass would then take me and run me, basically. Like, kick balls like a dog, and I had to go and get it back, bring it, kick it in that direction. Just trying to piss me off. But honestly, that's what it was like. But I had the mentality, right, just, I never, to be fair, I argued with Mo every day he was there, to be fair, but I just get the head down and I says, right, you know what, if that's what you're going to do, I'm just going to bust my gut. And I was fit, I was one of the fittest there. Running and that didn't bother me, it was the ball part that I didn't like. But I just get in my head, I was determined, I sat it out, and I eventually left, I think in the January, and it was about 10:30 at night in the deadline day. Eventually they gave me what I was looking for. But if he'd been a wee bit more respectful with me and honest, that could have been done 6 months ago.
Yeah.
And it could have saved the club a lot of money. But he just tried to piss me off, and it worked.
So, 16, 17, 18 moves in your career.
I didn't actually realise it was that many.
We can't touch in all of them, but is there any like working off, like, you always think, well, how did we manage to pull that one off? Any kind of mad moves, or the manager's mad, or the meeting place is mad, or it's a phone call?
That one, as you said, it was 10:30 on deadline day that night, and obviously I get a phone call, I was at home, just my feet up, and get a phone call to say, get yourself down to the stadium. My agent, they're going to give you what we're looking for, sort of thing. So I'd already agreed to sign with Ross County, so I went down, signed what I had to sign, collected my boots, went straight to a hotel in Inverness, and Derek Adams and George Adams were sitting waiting for me to sign, and I went back there that night. So that's probably the kind of only one.
Best signing on fee?
Oh, Inverness, I did all right up there. I'd scored 29 goals this previous season. I had a few options, signed with Inverness because of Craig Brewster again. He'd just, as a striker and similar sort of type, and get a good feel, and he sort of wanted me more than any other manager, I suppose. So end up.
Got a good feel of it.
I was better watch what I was saying there. So you've always got to come up with that. But nah, so I got a good, really good contract in Inverness. That was set me up.
And for the future, you see yourself staying with Joma and involved in that kind of side of business?
Yeah, I'm really enjoying it. As I say, it's hard to come by jobs in sports, particularly in Scotland. So I'm really enjoying it. I've always got ambitious and always want to sort of go and do better. I'd love to work within a club in some sort of general manager role, chief exec, something like that. I would love to be involved in the sort of day-to-day running of a club, but for the moment I'm happy where I am, and I don't see myself moving anytime soon.
It's not a bad job when you can come in here on a Tuesday at 10:30, is it?
It's all right.
I hope the bosses aren't listening in Spain.
Especially for nothing.
That shows you how much he's getting paid, isn't it?
You're a good guest, Si. Enjoyed that.
Brilliant, mate. Really good.
Been great. Thoroughly enjoyed it. Well, that's great, and we look forward to our next. Well, I think we should get a double like the way we had with Derek Ferguson and Ian Durant for your sit down. We'll get Andy and Big Tell. That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? Morris Malpass and Billy Brown waiting in the wings. Listen, it's been great, Andy. Thanks very much for your company for the last 45, 50 minutes. It's been good fun. I hope you've enjoyed the Open Goal podcast, keeping the ball on the ground in association with our friends at William Hill. We'll speak to you next week. Bye bye.